Blog Talk Radio.
Missed the show? To catch up, subscribe to the FlowRadioNetwork.com podcast via the iTunes Store, Google Play, or via www.flowondemand.com. That's F-L-O, ondemand.com. Flow Radio Network Podcast.
On the go, you can still get into the flow. Tune in via any mobile or portable Wi-Fi enabled device. Simply go to your app store and download the free TuneIn app, type Flow, spelled F-L-O, Radio Network, in the search bar, and look for the orange Flow Radio logo. Click the heart to place us in your favorites. Now you are all set to listen to the Flow on the go. FlowRadioNetwork.com.
It's Wednesday. Get ready for your midweek push. It's time to get into the Word with Pastor Tabitha. It's Wednesday Word.
Hey, this is Pastor Tabitha.
Dr. Rhonda Snead.
We want to just say we're so excited that you've given us an opportunity to connect with you on Let's Talk About It.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that if you miss an episode of Let's Talk About It, then you can just go. You don't have to be in the know. Now you know. Go and get the show. We're on podcast. You can go to iTunes or Google Play. And you can also
go to flowondemand.com.
There you go. There's no reason for you not to
be talking about it.
We look to see you. And join us on Thursdays
with Let's Talk About It.
7 o'clock p.m.
It's standard time.
There we go. Great day to you. I'm Pastor Tabitha. So excited to be right here with you on Wednesday for your word. Listen, Matthew 4:4 tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. I believe right now you're about to receive what you need to make it through the rest of this week. I love you in Jesus. Hey, let's get ready. It's Wednesday Word.
We're looking this morning at what I want to begin talking about today is victory in Jesus. I want to begin to talk today about victory in Jesus. Victory. Somebody shout victory. Victory in Jesus. And we are reading from Romans 8, and we're going to start at verse 28. And I'd like to read for you 28 through 39. It's a little bit extensive for me because I don't like to read that much. But I really, if I could, I'd read all of Romans 8 because really it is such a wealth of information that I believe it could really speak to our spirits, the encouragement that we need. But I want to, let me read one. Let me start at Romans 1. I heard you. Let me read Romans 8:1, and then I'm going to go back to 8:28. All right, Romans 8. If you have Romans 8, would you say, I have it?
I have it.
If you need a moment, say, hold on. I wouldn't, you know, I'm becoming so enlightened that I'm waiting for people to turn their Bibles, and now they are flipping their pads. So I'm not going to ask, you know, I didn't say turn your Bibles to. Come on, talk to me. I'm getting there. Amen. Romans 8:1. If you're there, say, I have it. If you need a moment, say, hold on. Amen. In the reading of the Lord from Romans 8:1 from the New King James Translation, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You all know we've been talking a whole lot about spirit life and fruitfulness, and so I just thought that would be real great as we start talking about moving forward and understanding that God expects for us to live a fruitful life, but you can't have a fruitful life unless you have a connected life in Jesus Christ. But not only do you have a connected, fruitful life, but your life is free. Somebody say it's free.
It's fruitful.
but it's also victorious. Amen. It's also victorious. So I don't just have liberty, but I have victory. One more time. I don't just have liberty. I'm not just loosed. Oh, my God. But I'm linked, and I'm going up. Y'all, somebody say going up. Amen. So here it is. It says, now 28 says, now there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then 28 says, and we know. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. Let's keep reading. We love that one, but we got to keep reading. 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 30 says, moreover, I like that, moreover, it ain't over yet, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also... Let's go. He also glorified. So now what you want to say? What then shall we say to these things? What things? All of these things we've been talking about before we got to verse 28. I want to just say that if God is for us, who can be against us? And 32 says, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 33 says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That we go back to verse 1, and it just keeps being reiterated. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. 34 says, now if God justifies, boo, who are you? Who is you to condemn? It says, if it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, and is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's go. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, this is where I'm really wanting to get, for your sake, God, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But you can't stop there. Somebody shout yet. Somebody shout yet. In spite of. So what? This is still the truth. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's go. For I am persuaded. Listen. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is, amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you have victory in Jesus. Say, neighbor, today, more than anything else, I want you to be reminded that you're not a victim. I really have preached as hard as I'm going to preach, and we've shouted as much as we're going to shout, because I think the text is laid out in such a way that you get the point. That you get the point. Amen. One of the things that I want you to understand about this letter is Paul has written this letter to these Romans with the intent of imparting encouragement as they walk out their new experience. And I want you to know something, that it is very important for newcomers, for new believers, or for those in new positions, y'all don't want to talk to me, to have a level of encouragement, because if people are going to continue to move forward, they got to be encouraged. I heard us asking the question this morning why we come to church. I wanted to run out of the office and say, let me tell you why I come to church. I come to church because I need to be encouraged. I need to be stirred. I need to be connected. I need to be reminded that I'm not just here, but I'm here for a reason. Lord have mercy. That's why church is important, because church has the ability to encourage us in our experience. Look at your neighbor, say, be encouraged, be encouraged. Tell your other neighbor, say, be encouraged, be encouraged. So what Paul is doing here on purpose, somebody shout on purpose. On purpose, he is writing to these Romans to encourage them in their new experience. And one of the things that we see here that Paul says in Romans 1:8, he says that this Roman church, he says something remarkable. He says that you all have great faith. Lord have mercy. He says not only do you have great faith, but your great faith has made you famous. He said your great faith is spoken of all over the world. I find that so interesting, man, because how can these people with this great faith need Paul to write them a letter of encouragement? It just says to us that those of us who walk life in a faithful manner, we will also have great fighting matters as well. So the thing that we must understand is just because you're faithful does not mean that you won't have a fight. Look at your neighbor. Say, you fighting because you faithful. Oh, tell your neighbor. Say, you fighting because you faithful. Oh, my God. If you ain't faithful, the enemy ain't got time to deal with no faking. He only deals with that which is faithful. Somebody shout, I'm fighting. Because I'm faithful. Because God knows he can count on me. And so what Paul does on purpose is he begins to take time out to encourage these Romans because he knows that they are faithful. He knows that they are famous, but he also knows that they're having a fight of their life. And Romans is a great book. In fact, theologians say that Romans is the book of the book. Amen. Says that Romans is the book in the Bible. I think that all the books, you know how we get. You know, you get a little, insight, and you just swim past 5 feet. So this is the book. It is the book. And if Romans is the book, then verse 28 would have to be the verse. If Romans is the book, then verse 28 has to be the verse. Because what Romans is intended to do is three quick things. Number one, it is to remind people, to remind these believers of the power of salvation. The power. Somebody shout the power. The power of salvation. When we are saved, there is a power that we live with. There is a power that we experience. And if this power allows us to be free from sin, come on, y'all don't want to talk, you keep talking. I said victory. Say victory. That's the power that's free, that's having the power over sin. Say over sin. Uh-huh. When I say over sin, I'm meaning the penalty of sin, because you do know that the wages of sin is death. But when I am in Christ Jesus, I have a power. This salvation, what it does is it keeps me, it eliminates, it excludes me from having to deal with the penalty of my pitifulness. Lord, have mercy. Because you do know we do have some pitiful situations and circumstances. And if I was judged according to every one of my pitiful situations, I want to tell you that would be most pitiful. But we are free from the penalty of sin. Somebody shout, that's good news. Somebody shout, that's victory, that's victory, that's victory. Not only the penalty, but it also gives us the power over sin, the power over sin, which means I don't have to deal with being guilty because of sin, but I don't have to live gritty because of sin either. It means that I don't want to talk about how much power I have, but still live beneath the power that I say that I have. I can be free from the penalty, but then I need to also understand that I don't have to live my life under the influence or the power of sin. I have the ability to rise. I'm talking about victory. I'm talking about victory. I'm talking about victory. I'm talking about victory here. I got the ability to come up over what I before did not have the ability to come up. Oh, Lord have mercy. I got the ability to come out. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I got the ability to come out even where I thought initially that I couldn't come out of. I have the ability to get to what I did not think on my own I could get to. Somebody shout, that's power. That's power. But then ultimately, we will not have to deal with even the presence of sin. That's the power of salvation. Not just the power of salvation, but the promise of justification. Mercy. I'm talking about Paul when he's writing this book, this letter to these Romans. This is a letter. This is like someone writing something to you that you are reading with the intent of encouraging you right where you are, because he knows that you need to be reminded. You need to remind yourself that there is a power that you have on the inside of you, and not just a power that you have on the inside of you, but what God has done is God has justified you. That's just as if you have not sinned. Lord have mercy. What that means is when we stand before God, it is just as if I have done nothing but what he wanted. That's justification. He says that there's a promise of justification. And we know that God keeps his word. If God makes a promise, then God keeps his word. I love God because God's not like me. Sometimes I make promises and I didn't know all the information. And so what I have to do is go back and retract what I have extended. But God knows all of the information. And in spite of knowing all of the information, he still imputes righteousness for my behalf. Lord have mercy. Somebody shout, that's good news. That's good news. And they need to know this because they're struggling here, not necessarily with this power of salvation or this promise of justification, but this process of sanctification. What most of us struggle to really understand who we are and what we have because of this whole process. This way that God works things to get things right out of us. It's in us, but God don't want it just in us. God wants it out of us. And so what God does is he places us, he makes me right. He declares me right, but then he delivers me unto that righteousness. Lord have mercy. He says, you good. Now let me get the good out of you. Because I cannot tell a lie. If I impute righteousness on you, if I declare that you are right, then because of my own word, then I've got to make sure that what I said is so. I want to talk to us now because we love to be imputed righteousness, but we don't understand that God is still looking for a yield or reward as a result of what he has released in our lives. Yeah, I'm attributed as righteousness, but God wants to see some right today, your neighbor. God wants to see some right too. Yeah, he does. All that power you got on the inside of you. It's not just to be locked down. It's to come out. It's to come out. And so Paul is talking to them so that they're not confused, because many times we know in an instance we've been made right, but we know in a step we walk wrong. I mean, it is such a contradiction, such a struggle, such confusion that we live with, to know on one end I'm right, I'm justified. On the other end, I know I'm sanctified, set apart, but I'm still standing together. I know I'm different, but I'm the same. Paul says in chapter 7, this is my contention. When I want to do good, see, because I know y'all are real deep and spiritual, so let me talk about Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament that just told the truth. That's why I love Paul, because Paul's saying, I'm deep and I write it, and I know what it is, but I want to tell the whole truth. When I want to do what I know God wants for me to do, I find myself doing something totally. Oh my God. And so I am struggling, and because I am your spiritual head, if I'm going through it, I know you go, oh my God, I know you're going through it too. So let me give you a word of encouragement. Paul says, I want you to remember that you're not victims. You're not victims. That you're not victims. You're not victims. You have a lot of things going on. A lot of chaos and a lot of verse 1 condemnation. My God. A lot of disapproval. And this disapproval that's going on is not necessarily by he say or she say. It's by what you say. My God. There is a consciousness that condemns us. Our own self consciousness that condemns. The truth is, until my own conscience condemns me, your condemning don't mean nothing to me. So we go back to the children of Israel. The Bible says when they go to spy out the land, and the Bible says they got scared. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And since that's how I look to me, then that's what I believe my enemy sees me as. Now, your enemy ain't thinking about you. I'm trying to help us now. Your enemy don't even have an opinion about you. The enemy's opinion is formed once you show up in your pitiful function. When I show up acting like I can't do it, or acting like I don't know who I am, then what you get is not from you. You got it from me, my God. And Paul says that that can be very, very, very scary, very confusing. So let's just deal with this head on. He says, I want you to know that you are not victims.
I really want to say thank you for spending your lunch break or just your time period with us today here on Wednesday Word. I do pray that the Lord has released something in your life that will cause you to live on purpose. Listen, I'd love to hear from you. If you're plugged in, tuned in, listening, or wherever you're listening from, would you just let us know? You can reach me on Facebook, Tabitha C. Whitten Ministries, or you can just drop me a line at my website, pastortab.org, or feel free to just reach out right here on flowradionetwork.com to say, listen, I received the word, and I believe the word is releasing me. I believe that together we can do some great things for the kingdom's agenda. And by chance, if you're ever in the Houston area, I would love to meet you personally right here at Remnant Fellowship Church, 8550 Guinevere, 10 o'clock a.m. on Sundays. If you think the word is enriching on radio, I want to tell you it is something phenomenal in person. So why don't you make it a point to visit us? I'd love to meet you between now and then. For certain, next week we'll meet again on Wednesday Word right here on FlowRadioNetwork.com.
Flow Radio Network, 24/7 around the world, nonstop. This is FlowRadioNetwork.com.